There's nothing more that I would want than to have 2 hours with you just to talk about this text. There is so much in this text that I want you to leave with today. I want to ask you a very important question. I want you to think about this question in the context of your life, present, future, people you'll meet. This is the question I want you to ponder. How bold are you at sharing your faith in Jesus Christ? How bold are you? What is it about you that tips people off that you've been with Jesus? Frederick the Great was king of Prussia in the 17th century. He called his generals together for a dinner, and one of those generals asked to be dismissed from the invitation because he had duties at the church. They were serving communion. And the king allowed him to do that, but he called another dinner, and this person was present. And they began to make fun of him and his religious faith. And they were basically saying, you miss a dinner with the king because of this. And even Frederick the Great began to taunt him a little bit. And this man, he had courage. His name was Hans von Zieten. And at that second dinner, when everyone, including the king, they were deriding him, he stood. I want you to hear what he said to the king and all those who were present. And I quote, "My lord, there is a greater king than you, a king to whom I have sworn allegiance even unto death. I am a Christian man, and I cannot sit quietly as the Lord's name is dishonored, his character belittled, and his cause subjected to ridicule. With your permission, sir, I shall withdraw." That was such a bold thing to do because he could have lost his life for doing that in subordination. But you know what happened? The Holy Spirit apparently moved in that meeting, and the King of Prussia, in front of everyone there, apologized and asked his forgiveness and told him that he would never deride sacred things ever again. It's boldness. There was a missionary, an evangelist, a Methodist, Peter Cartwright. And he was known, he left Tennessee, from Tennessee, and he went north because of slavery. And he came to church one Sunday, and they told him that the President of the United States was there, Andrew Jackson. And Peter Cartwright was known as just saying anything he felt like he wanted to say. So the deacons got him and told him, Pastor, warned him not to say anything that would offend our chief executive. And I want you to hear what this Methodist preacher, I don't know if a Baptist would do this, but when he got up to preach, this is what he said, and I quote, "I understand President Andrew Jackson is here. I have been requested to be guarded in my remarks." Then he paused and said, "Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent and believe the gospel." The whole congregation, their breath was taken away. They couldn't believe their pastor would do that. And at the end of the service, our president, Andrew Jackson, he came through the line and took this preacher's hand. And this is what our president, Andrew Jackson, said to him. "Sir, if I had a regiment of men like you, I could conquer the world." Bold witness, boldness. When it comes to taking a stand for Jesus, it's affirmed. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. We really don't have to be afraid when we speak about Jesus because the Holy Spirit loves us to do that. He will be there. He will empower us. And today in this sermon, I know you're not going to believe this, but I only have 2 points instead of three. Is that okay? I am going to base my sermon, my thoughts around two words. And those words are boldness and exclusivity. Now, those words I want you to remember. If I run into you in Kroger this week, I'm going to say, "Do you remember those two words?" And you're going to say them. Please don't say, "No, I forgot," and mess my whole day up. You will remember these two words, boldness and exclusivity. Let me talk about boldness just a minute. Last week we saw Peter and John coming to the temple, and the Holy Spirit had them notice this cripple who had been there. They had seen him before, because the man was there all of his life begging at the temple. But when the Holy Spirit directs your attention for a purpose, that's what happened. And he asked for money, and we know the story. And they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the scriptures say he got up, never had walked before, started jumping around, dancing, having a wonderful time. And you know what Peter did? He took advantage of that because a crowd was coming around. I mean, if you knew this man had been crippled since he was a baby and he was over 40 and you see him running around, a crowd's going to gather. And the Holy Spirit used that crowd. And what did Peter do? Started preaching. Started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Basically saying, this man walks because of the name of Jesus, and this same Jesus can save you from your sins, wipe your slate clean, empower you with His Spirit, and let you live the abundant life. And they were hearing that, and all of a sudden, in the middle of this impromptu sermon, here they come. You got your Bibles? I want you to open them back to our text in Acts chapter 4. You're with me, are you not? I've asked the Holy Spirit to keep you awake, attentive, and ready to listen. Are you there? Okay, I want us to look back at this text. We're going to look again at verses 1 through 4, what happens. So read with me again. "The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people," why? "Proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. All of this, the work of the Holy Spirit. Everything happening through the Holy Spirit. Now, in this group of people, it's interesting. The priests come, and they're Levites. Of course, they're going to be at the temple. And then the captain, or the police chief of the temple, he was there. And then the Sadducees. And I want to say a few words about the Sadducees. On Wednesday nights, I'm teaching on bad boys of the Bible. And this past Wednesday, we talked about the Sadducees. And I'll say this, little good can be said about this bunch, the Sadducees. In fact, if you look in the book of Acts, most of the persecution that Christians face in the book of Acts comes from this group, the Sadducees. Now, I want to tell you a few things about the Sadducees. Perhaps you know this, perhaps you don't. They focused most of their attention on the temple, the work of the temple. They did not accept all of the Bible. In fact, the only parts of the Bible they accept were the first five books, the Pentateuch. So they did not give any kind of credence to the Psalms or the prophets, everything, and mostly because the Mosaic code and sacrifices and so forth are found in those first five books, the books of Moses. And they did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe in angels. I was telling the group Wednesday night, can you imagine not believing that Gabriel came to Mary and said, "You are blessed among all women"? They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the supernatural. And most of all, they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. In fact, they opposed it. It's almost a demonic opposition to the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of Jesus. And folks, I want you to remember, this is the same bunch that condemned Jesus. Same people condemned Jesus and put him on the cross. And here they are. And here are these two disciples. One, 50 days earlier, had denied Jesus. "I don't know any." "No, I don't know any." Here he is, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right. Listen, throwing the resurrection at him like a spear. He didn't care. And, I mean, they were taken aback. I want to tell you, these unlearned, quote, ignorant men, full of the Holy Ghost, had control of that situation. And isn't that incredible, the power of the Holy Spirit? Not by might nor by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what it's all about. And here they are, and the Sadducees, they are right there with me. Now, I want to show you that this same bunch, the Sadducees, and folks, I want to tell you something. Wednesday night, we talked about it. We still have the spirit of Sadduceeism right now. There are a lot of people just like the Sadducees. Religious, but dead. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Are you with me? Are you still with me to Mark chapter 12? I want you to see how Jesus had to face this same bunch. And it is very interesting that after Jesus' death and resurrection, the first thing that the disciples, when they get into trouble, it's over the resurrection. And I think it's chapter 2 of what I'm going to read to you in Mark chapter 12. Let's begin reading with verse 18. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote, see, they only give credence to Moses, the Pentateuch. Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife with no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died, leaving no child. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died. And here they are making fun of the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. They think they have Jesus, and they have defeated him in this theological debate. And this is what Jesus said. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? Don't ever leave that out. It is the scripture which introduces you to the power. When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now, about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses? Isn't it wonderful that he took them back to the only books they believed in? To the book of Moses in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. Same bunch coming against Peter and John. And, you know, this is important. What they did on temple grounds. They healed a man and they were preaching the resurrection. Did you know that the Sadducees had the authority, if you broke the law on temple grounds, that they could execute you immediately? They didn't have to wait. But the Holy Spirit didn't allow that, did He? They proclaimed Jesus boldly. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Are you this bold in your faith? Are you ashamed to speak the name of Jesus to people? Do you miss opportunities week after week where you could interject what Jesus has done for you, but for some reason you don't? You know what you need to do? Very first thing all of us need to do, I need to do, you need to do, is Holy Spirit, empower me. Empower me to be awake. Empower me to take advantage of the opportunities you give me. Holy Spirit, let me know. And I'll tell you, the more you do this, I promise you, the more you do this, you'll hear His voice. You'll see opportunity upon opportunity. You'll get more excited, and you'll just fall in love with sharing your faith. But we start by asking, Holy Spirit, will you fill me? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to fill you? You know, we're Baptists, and we're so afraid of the Pentecostal theology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we Baptists, we believe in one baptism. That's when you're saved, when you're converted. You can't be converted without the Holy Spirit. But we believe in many fillings and overflowing. They asked one preacher one time, why do you keep praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit? And he said, because I leak. And we do leak. And folks, I've gotten so excited about daily getting up knowing that Jesus is my Lord. He's my companion. But He has given me a gift that I've neglected. The Holy Spirit and His power in my life, His action in my life, His leading me, guiding me, giving me thoughts. Oh, we are so blessed to have Him. And we need to ask Him to do more in our lives so that we can present Jesus in a way that people who don't have what you and I have. Imagine, folks, there are people who do not have the peace of Jesus in their heart. They don't have it. They don't have the assurance that they're part of a bigger story. And their little story will make perfect sense in the context of that great big story we'll all know someday. They don't have that. They don't have the assurance that Jesus has taken their sin and given Him, us, His righteousness. They don't have that. And we need to remember that. Now, I hope you'll be bold. Will you be bold? What's the first word if I run into you at Kroger? You're going to say, I remember, preacher. What is it? Boldness. You're going to be bold, okay? Young people, you're going to be bold. You people, you sweet people, probably have more opportunity for this, and it is more important right now at this age, you, to direct people and let them know that you walk with Jesus. Because it could chart the course of their future at this age. So we pray for you. The Holy Spirit will fall on you, and the Lord will bless you and use you. Now, I want to look at that next word, and this is a fighting word, but it's an important word, and it is exclusivity. Let me ask you this. I want you to be bold. Are you bold enough not just to believe, but to proclaim unapologetically that Jesus is the only path to God? He is the only path to God. You're lost without Him. Jesus said, I have come to seek the lost. Without Jesus, you're lost. And that's what we want. We want lost people, lost sheep. You know the parables of Jesus. He left 99 sheep to go look for that one. You could be the one that He's looking for today. He will come after you. He's the good shepherd. All your life you're going to hear footsteps coming for you. That's Him. That's Him. Exclusivity. Verse 12. Listen to this verse. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is how the message says it. Salvation comes no other way, no other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one. That's exclusivity. There can be no doubt that's what the Bible is teaching. This message has drawn opposition from the very first days. I always put on Saturday my Facebook just a little something that I'm going to use in the sermon the next day. I put this quote by Ravi Zacharias. Truth by definition excludes. I want you to think about that. It excludes everything that is untrue. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is exclusivity. You have free will, folks. You have a choice. I hear folks ask, well, what about all these people that never hear the gospel? You know, I don't know in the mind of God how all of that works, but I'll say this. One of the reasons why they haven't heard the gospel is we've not taken it to them. And could it be that God is going to lay some of the blame of these people not knowing Jesus on our doorstep and hold us accountable for that more than they? Who's the biggest sinner? The one with the bread who won't share it with someone who's hungry, or the person who's hungry? And I say this to all of us who have grown up in the Western world. You have heard the gospel from the time you were babies. You know what the gospel is. And if you willfully reject it, if you, having all of that information, to whom much is given, much is required, if you reject that, then you're worse, I think, than the ones who've never heard, because you have been given that opportunity. And folks, this is the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Folks, there's a possibility of perishing. Should not perish, but come to belief in God and be united with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to wrap up my sermon this way. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I've left out a ton of material I wanted to carry. I don't know if I'm going to do part two next week or not, but you don't care, do you? I want you to see something, and then this is my final little block. I'm in the fourth quarter, okay? You with me? All right. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. It's here that we're going to see what differentiates Christianity from all other religions. Tim Keller is a Presbyterian that I read often. And I invite you to read Tim Keller. He will not lead you astray. He is orthodox. He is a good writer. And he talks about three things. He talks about the origin of salvation, the purpose of salvation, and the method of salvation. And all three are in this text that I'm about to read in 1 John chapter 4. Let's read it together. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 10. One. We'll go through 10. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they come from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Now, I want to mention three things quickly. First of all, the origin of our salvation. We see that in verse 2 and 3 of what I just read. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. And then in that last verse 10, he said that he sent his Son. Jesus is different than any other human being who ever lived upon the face of the earth. He was not born just like the rest of us. He was sent. And the Bible tells us, first of all, that he was sent, then born. And we can't miss that. Listen to Galatians 4:4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman. He was sent before He was born. And there are other scriptures. For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. Boy, if that doesn't describe life for so many today, the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Listen, He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last days for your sake. He was sent. He is so unique. That's why Christianity is different than any other religion upon the face of the earth. No other religion can say that their founder came from heaven. He is God. Came from heaven. Took on human flesh. Reject any philosophy that says He did not come, God, in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. The purpose of salvation. This is how you'll know and recognize the Spirit of God, that He came in the flesh. So many, Gnosticism at this time, they downplayed the flesh. In fact, the flesh meant nothing to Gnostics. And you could do anything in the flesh. That's why there was so much rampant sin. And they thought the only thing that was important was the spirit. And folks, even today in some religions, this is an illusion. The world, and what we want to do is to escape, to be liberated from the illusion. And the material is not all that important. Many believe that and teach that the most important thing is when you die that your spirit goes to heaven. Well, in one way, it does. But it doesn't remain. You're not going to remain a disembodied spirit. That's why it is so important for us to realize that Jesus came in the flesh for a reason. Because God is not through with this world. God loves His creation so much that He became part of it. And our world is not going to be destroyed and obliterated and so forth. It's going to be redeemed. You know, our choir sang, God's going to set this world on fire. You know what fire does? Fire purifies. God's going to purify this world. And right now, do you believe that in heaven there is a man called Jesus who is still a man who has scars? He's not in just some spirit. He is as He was when He left this earth. And He is saying to us, He will come back and reestablish new heaven and new earth. We're going to go to heaven spiritually in that in-between time. But you know, at the end, Revelation chapter 21 tells us, verses 1 through 4, that heaven will come to earth and God will dwell among His people. That is an important thing. We need truth. And then the method of salvation. The most man-made religions, a person must perform good works in order to earn his or her way into God's favor. The opposite is true in Christianity with Jesus. That's so not true in the gospel. Look at verse 10 once again. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And here it is again. And sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God takes our sin upon Himself, dies with it, rises and gives us His righteousness. And folks, the righteousness begins from the very day that you're saved. You get everything at the beginning. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. Live fully, because you got everything Jesus wants to give you on the first day. It is yours. Jesus died the death we should have died and lives the life we should have lived. And Jesus, He confers all that perfect righteousness and debt forgiveness on all of us imperfect sinners. Now we'll end with this. Acts 4. Verse 13. Will you read that with me as I'm closing up? You with me still? All right. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I want you to think about those last words. They had been with Jesus. Folks, being with the church is not the same as being with Jesus. Being around Jesus is not the same as being with Jesus. The power comes when we're with Jesus and He is with us. And converted people know this. They know that things happen that they could never generate themselves. Now, I want to ask you this. You know what's going to help Trinity Baptist Church grow. It's not my great preaching, and it's not this bunch's great singing. You know what it is? It's when people walk in this door. We've got guests today, and I hope you've already felt this. They're going to walk in that door. And when they walk in that door, immediately they're going to sense these people have been with Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you, it's not me that'll make the church grow. It's you. These people have been with Jesus. You can call Billy Graham to be your pastor. If we only get a new pastor, we'll grow. Call Billy Graham. If you don't change, nothing else will change. These people have been with Jesus. I tell you, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Lift him up, people. You want the church to grow? Lift Jesus up. I can promise you, if we start lifting Jesus up and not ourselves, people will walk through that door. You believe that? People will walk through that door if we be with Jesus and he is with us. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, oh, we pray that a spirit of renewal will come upon us. Forgive us, Lord, for our sin. Forgive us for the way that we have been so self-centered. And I pray for a new movement of your precious Holy Spirit among us, beginning in my heart as well. Oh, come upon us. Surprise us. Help us to see such a change among us that we know we had nothing to do with it. We were just faithful to the Word. Oh, God, do that. I pray, Lord, for anyone here today who's heard the gospel and know that they have to make a choice. You're not going to force salvation upon them. You created them as a free moral agent. Help them to say yes to life. You have set before us life and death. Help those who haven't chosen life to do so in faith in Jesus. And this we pray in that precious name. Amen. I'd like to give this invitation, first of all, to those who today in your heart you know that you haven't chosen Jesus in life. And maybe today the Holy Spirit is saying to you, this is the day. You have no idea how much I love you. You have no idea the plan I have for your life. Will you give yourself to me? And if in your heart you're believing that and you feel that, I want you to be bold. Step out and say, come on up here while we're singing and say, Richard, that's what I want. I want to be saved. I want to follow Jesus. Oh, you don't know how much you would move this congregation if you would do that. We would see that today. Christians, I want to charge you to really think about what was said today about boldness and exclusivity. You've got to make up your mind. Either Jesus is... Listen, folks, until you make up your mind, you're just spread so thin you're not worth anything to the gospel. You've got to make up your mind that it's all Jesus. Jesus and nothing else. And go out in the world and spend the rest of your time and your life talking about Jesus. Do it. I invite you to do that. Be bold. Be bold in what you do. Listen to the opportunities this week the Holy Spirit will give you. Move on them. And as we do every Lord's Day, we open up our community of faith, Trinity. We're a local body. We're people who love the Lord, and we're praying that God will send us others who will make us more complete. And it could be today that you are a guest and you have been praying, and perhaps you know that this is your home. We invite you to come. However the Holy Spirit leads, it's my privilege to stand and receive anyone who would come. Let's stand and sing our hymn of commitment.